Now let's open our minds and our hearts to receive a fresh and relevant message from the Word of God, shared by our very own Pastor Eddie.
How many U2 fans in the house?
Yeah.
Woo! You can like U2 and know Jesus. Jesus likes U2. He told me he's a big fan of Bono. Just kidding. Starting a new message series entitled, I just still haven't found what I'm looking for, because people are looking for things in this world. Would you hold up your Bibles? This is what we're going to do. Instead of you saying it together, because last few times we did that, half the room's in sync, half the room's out of sync, and there's always the one guy who's way out. So I'm just going to say it. You say amen at the end, all right? All right, here we go. This is the Word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. Amen. All right, very good. That's how we're going to do it from now on, all right? So as I said, I'm starting a new message series today entitled, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. Everybody in this life is looking for something. We're looking for happiness. We're looking for purpose. We're looking for love or fulfillment, success, significance. We look for rest. As you heard Pastor Kevin say, I'm tired, right? He's looking for rest. We're looking for God's plan or God's path. And I'm sure that in that list of things that we're looking for, I'm sure I missed some, but I want you to know I think that's a pretty comprehensive list of the things that people are looking for. And I believe the reason that people are having trouble finding the things they're looking for is that they're looking for all the wrong things in all the wrong places. As I embarked on this series, and what happened was one day I was riding in my car, and I heard that U2 song on the radio or on a commercial. And the Lord said to me, that's the next series that you're going to do. I said, U2? And he said, no, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And he began to expound to me on the fact that in this world, people are looking for these things that make them feel significant or feel loved or whatever it is, and we sometimes live our whole life searching for those things. And then God reminded me of my own walk and my own journey to him. And he said to me, what happens is the reason people are having trouble finding these things is because they fail to look for me first. And then he reminded me of my own journey to find him. And I remember I was like most people. I looked for love and I looked for success and I looked for those things all according to the world's definition. And then when I thought I found it, it would make me happy or fulfill something in me for a short period of time, and then that would wear off, and we'd move on to the next thing, and then the next thing. And I'll never forget one day, I told Peggy, I'm buying a Mustang convertible. I want a convertible. I wanted my hair to blow in the breeze. I bought a Mustang convertible. Put the top down twice in the entire time I had the car, because I really didn't want a convertible, because my hair didn't blow in the wind, but I got sunburn. It really did, and it hurts quite a bit on your bald head. And one day I was leaving work, and I called her and said, I'm going to be a little late coming home. She said, well, what's up? I said, you'll see when I get there. And I pulled into a car dealership on the way home from work one day, and I traded in the Mustang for a truck, because that made much more sense. What happened was I just kept trying to fill these voids in my life, kept trying to fulfill these longings in my life with things, watches and cars and love and, you know, all those things that the world's running after. And it wasn't until I met Jesus that all things began to make sense, that all things began to line up, and I went, That's what I've been looking for. That's what I've been searching for all this time. I thought it was all these things, success, money, fame and fortune, but it was Jesus the whole time. And the minute that that happened is I began to sell and get rid of all the stuff that I had been acquiring because it was no longer important to me, right? I was looking for success and all those things, but I was looking for them in the wrong places and the wrong way. When I finally met Jesus, though, I discovered that my whole life took on new meaning. So I've used this illustration before, and if you've seen this illustration, don't say, well, man, I've already seen this before. You're not telling me something new. But I want to share with you something that I've used many times, and it's so easy to comprehend. It's so easy to use. We're going to pretend that our life is this pizza. Doesn't that look good? Now, how many of you now are going to go out and eat pizza after church? Probably a lot of you. One day I was preaching, I preached about consistency, and I talked about the consistency of McDonald's. Whether you're here in the United States or in Peru, McDonald's tastes like McDonald's. You get a Big Mac, it tastes like a Big Mac. And I was in Peru one time, and I had been eating Peruvian food for a week, and I didn't want to see another bowl of unknown stuff with unknown stuff in it. So I said, I got to the airport, and there was the Golden Arches. I went, I know what that is, and I know what I'm going to get. Anyway, let's pretend for a minute that your life is this pizza. You got a pretty good life, don't you? And all those slices, the 8 slices of pizza there, represent parts of your life. So maybe one part could be maybe your family life. Another part could maybe be your professional life, your career. Another part could be God. Another part could be your kids, maybe your hobbies, and so on. But let me ask you this question. Of the 8 slices of pizza, how many does Jesus get? One piece? If you're a pretty good Christian, you go to church maybe like 20 times a year or more, maybe he gets 2 pieces. So Pastor Eddie, I'm like a really good Christian. He's going to get 3 pieces of my pie. See, it's kind of a trick question. See, Jesus doesn't want to be 1 or 2 or 3 pieces of your pie. He wants to be the pie. And when he's the whole pie, all the things in our life just kind of fit together as they were designed to fit together in your life. And it wasn't until I met Jesus that this began to make sense to me. And I'm trying to find these things to fulfill my life, and none of them worked independent of Jesus. But when Jesus was my life, then all those things began to work together, right? So again, how many of you going to eat pizza after church now? Jesus is the whole pizza, right? And all the other parts just kind of work best when he's the main thing. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 17. And we're going to talk today about, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And we're going to talk about today finding God. Acts 17, verse 16. At this point of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul has been traveling the known world with his companions and planting churches all over the world and appointing pastors and leaving that church and going to the next town and doing the same thing over and over and over. And here we find Paul in the city of Athens, Greece. And this is what he says in chapter 17, verse 16. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. Now go down to verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus. Now the Areopagus was kind of a center of the town, and it was where all these philosophers and all the smart people of the town would come to share their knowledge with one another, because people were discovering knowledge and discovering thought and so on. And so they would come into the Areopagus and to share all these thoughts and processes and so on. And he stands up in the meeting of the Areopagus and he said, "People of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Paul uses the word as he's talking to these people in Athens, you're very religious. Now, I bet you when they heard that, they were thinking, hey, this guy's bragging on us. He can see, we're so religious, he can see the religion in us. It's pretty good, huh? Boy, people could just, I have religion written all over me. People can see it. But the word he uses for religious is the word desdemon in the Greek, and it means reverencing the gods and divine things, but religious in a bad sense. In other words, superstitious. I can see that you're superstitious is what he's telling them. And the people of Athens were like most of the people of the world, even today. We're very religious. We have lots of idols, lots of gods. You're thinking, well, he can't be talking to me because I don't have God. Oh, we have gods. We have gods called money. We have gods called popularity. We have gods called our jobs. You don't think it's a god? Look how many hours you spend there. Your wife's like, are you coming home anytime soon? No, baby, I got stuff I got to do at work till 10 o'clock at night. We have gods known as the opposite sex and amongst many, many other things, right? We have lots of gods. And so we are just like them. Most people, like the U2 song says, we still haven't found what we're looking for because we keep looking in all the wrong places and for all the wrong things. The Apostle Paul telling the people of Athens, and I'm telling New Beginnings today, and those that are listening online, Jesus is what you've been looking for. Church, you hear what I'm saying to you? Jesus is what you've been looking for. As a matter of fact, at the end of the first service, about 10 people gave their lives to Jesus today in first service. Now, the Greeks had a god for everything. Aphrodite was the goddess of love, sex, and beauty. Athena was the goddess of reason, wisdom, and war. Artemis, the god of the hunt. So you can see, they had gods for everything. And so when they had something new pop up, they just put a new god on it. Well, we're just going to create something else to worship. And that's what we do in this world, right? We just create new gods to worship, or things that are important to us. So as you can see, they had gods for all kinds of things in the life and that they were running after. And let's be honest, even today we have lots of gods, and none of those gods can give us what we need in any part of our lives except Jesus. Now we see in verse 27 of Acts 17 that he's not far from any of us. I want you to know he's closer than you think. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13, Jeremiah said this, speaking the oracles of God, Jeremiah said, you will seek me. This is God speaking through Jeremiah. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. In Proverbs 8 in verse 17, Solomon wrote, I love those who love me. This is God speaking right through Solomon. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. In Deuteronomy 4:29, you'll want to underline this one. This is Moses writing to the people of Israel as they're about to enter the promised land. And he is reminding the people of Israel, regardless of how far you wander from God, regardless of how far away you think you are, he said, but if from there, I don't care where the there is, from there, you seek the Lord your God, you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Listen, if we are going to find the things we're looking for, then we first have to, find God. I choked. Do you know that you can be a Christian and still not really know God? I know lots of Christians who know about God. They know who God is. They believe in God. But they don't know God any more than they know the seat they're sitting on. And sometimes the reason we don't experience all that the Christian life holds for us is because we really don't know God. If we really knew him like we should know him, we would experience all that he has for us. That's why some do and some don't. We know about him, but we don't really know him. So we believe in God, but we haven't really pursued getting to know him. I'm going to give you today five secrets. They're not really secrets. They're all in the Bible. So I just found them, and I'm going to tell you about them. How about that? Five secrets to finding God in your life. Number one is you must seek God. Now, it's more than just you opening your eyes and opening the Bible once a day and running, you know, okay, I'm going to go to church today, and that's seeking God. Could somebody turn the air conditioner on? Because it is getting warm up in here. Anybody else warm? Yeah, thanks. Somebody should have said something. I mean, you'll leave me out here sweating. In Revelation chapter 2, remember this. The apostle John has been exiled to the island of Patmos. And on the island of Patmos, Jesus visits John in a dream, in a revelation, and he begins to give John instructions about the future. Here's what's going to happen, John. And in Revelation chapter 2, or Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3, Jesus begins to download to John the there's information about seven churches and then the things that these seven churches represent. But in chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, he talks about the church at Ephesus, and I want to talk about his words. Listen to the words. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven gold lampstands. This is Jesus speaking about himself. I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and have found them to be false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. I want you to get this. Jesus is talking to the church. He's talking about a church. He's talking to believers. Now, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. The word repent is so often in churches misunderstood, misquoted, and misrepresented. I want you to know the word repent is the Greek word metanoia, and it means to think differently. Oh, I was told it means to turn. I need to turn from my wicked ways. It means you got to think differently. You can't turn till you start thinking different. It means you got to think differently. If we're truly going to find God, we have to get to know God and fall in love with God before we repent, right? We have to begin to think differently. We can't think old thoughts and attempt to apply new beliefs. I can't think the old way and then try to put some new stuff on top of it. The Bible says it's like putting new wine into old wineskins. How many of you ever read that in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all talk about the new wine and the old wineskins, and you thought, what exactly is he talking about? Mark 2:22, he says, and no one pours new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wine will burst the skins and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. This parable of wineskins ain't about wine. It's not about wineskins. It's about new beliefs into old thought patterns. They don't work together. Listen, if we're going to seek after God, then we must change what is important to us. The level of importance of things in your life must be rearranged if you're going to really seek God. You can't seek God and he's going to be in fifth place. Seeking God means that I become intentional, running after God every day. Listen, Jesus will have to have a new place of authority. The place is called first place. First place. Now listen, Jesus is referred to as the what? King of kings, Lord of lords. That doesn't sound like he's going to be second to anybody. He's King of Kings. There's no one or nothing greater than Jesus in all the universe. You get that? Not just the world, the universe. And it is warm up in here. Holy Spirit, maybe. Huh? If we're going to truly, thank you so much. Nick is the man. If we're going to truly find God, we have to change what's important. Changing what's important means I wake up daily seeking God and his plans over all the other pursuits of my life. Jeremiah 29:13, I read it to you a moment ago. It said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with what? All of your heart. Now, the word heart in the Hebrew means your thoughts and feeling mind. Your thoughts and your feelings. In other words, with all of your being, with all of your being, you must seek God. Not just a Sunday morning pursuit. Not just a connect group once a week or once every now and then. It's an everyday, all day, seeking him over every other pursuit of your life. If you want to find God, we have to seek God. Number two, if we're going to find God, then we have to seek his truth. John 8:31-2, Jesus talking to his disciples, he said, to the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple, then you will know the truth and the truth will make you free, right? Now, most of us read that and we say, yes, amen, hallelujah. But most of us have no idea what he's talking about. The word hold is the Greek word meno, and it means to abide or to tarry or to stay there. In other words, you can't just give the scripture a drive-by. Well, I drove by the scripture this morning on my way to work. I listened to it on the radio. I had a preacher on the radio. I think he said something about this or that. And no. That's giving Jesus just a little handful of your time. We got to read the word every day. Get in the word. Hold there. Live there. Hang out there. Stay there. He said, you'll be what? You'll be a disciple. A disciple is the Greek word mathetes, and it means a learner or a pupil. Listen, when you come to Christ, you thought you learned a lot going to college. You thought you learned a lot getting a master's degree, a doctorate degree. You ain't learned nothing yet. When you say yes to Jesus, the real learning begins. And it doesn't end until the day that you take your last breath on the earth and you go home to be with Jesus, right? Listen, I've been learning my whole time, and I want you to know, sometimes I feel dumb. I've been walking with Jesus over 20 years, and I read the Bible every day. And so I never saw that before. Well, I don't know how I never saw it before. I've been reading this thing for 18 years straight, cover to cover, and sometimes more than once in a year, and I still haven't seen it. Why? Because it's so complex, and people have asked me, hey, I read the Bible last year. What should I do now? Read it again. Go turn back to page one and start over, unless you got it all. Unless you can quote it, and I know you can't. And none of us can, because it's so complex. It's so life-giving. We have to keep going back to it. We have to become learners, right? Listening to the Bible one day a week or reading it every couple of days or so, when you have time, is not enough to introduce you to the God of the Word. To know God intimately, we must communicate with him often. Now listen, most people don't hear God's voice audibly. Two times in my Christian walk, I've heard the audible voice of God, twice. The day that he called me to follow him and to be saved, and the day that he called me to ministry, I heard the voice of the Lord. And I haven't heard it since. But I hear his promptings. I read his word every day, and things will be all of a sudden be highlighted, like, hey, this is what I'm talking to you about today. Burp, burp, burp. Because that's how he speaks today, right? And so you want to know why you're not hearing the voice of the Lord. Got to ask you, when's the last time you opened his word? When's the last time you got in the word? Listen, since we can't sit in the classroom on the side of a hill for Jesus to teach us, we got to go to the next best thing, the Bible. It is the inerrant, perfect, infallible word of God. It's the Bible. Listen, we got to seek his truth. Do you know that there are people throughout time that attempted to disprove God, and they would use his word to disprove the existence of God? Do you know what happened to most of those people? They all became Christians because they dug into the Word. Listen, you want to know God? You want to know the God of the Word? Then get in the Word. Seek his truth if you want to know God. Make his word a part of your daily spiritual nourishment. You cannot, listen, I've said this before. Coming to church once a week, if this is your spiritual nourishment, you're going to starve to death. Now, I'm good. But 1 hour on Sunday and seven more days of 24 hours in a day, and this is all you getting? If I tell you what, how about this? Try this. Today after church, eat one meal and don't eat again until next Sunday. You're going to be, by Monday, you're going to be like, I'm starving. When I fast for my 21 days in January, people say, how do you do that? I don't understand how you do that. Drink lots of coffee. The caffeine in the liquid psychs me out. We got to read it. How should we get the word? We got to read it, right? Designate a time every day to read the word. What does that mean? It means you got to get up 15 minutes earlier. Oh, man. Now you're messing with sacred territory, right? Read it on your lunch break. Now I'm busy socializing. I'm busy texting and doing whatever. Study it. You have to designate a time to dig into the word for yourself, not for anybody else, but just for you. Dig in, begin to study. Get a Bible program where you can look up Greek and Hebrew words and things like that to help it become illuminated in your life. Listen to sermons about it. Listen, we have backlogs of sermons. Matter of fact, most churches in America today, you get on their websites, there are just pages and pages and pages of sermons. You could listen to sermons all day, every day for the next 50 years and never exhaust all the sermons that there are in this world. Find some sermons from good pastors, right? Like me, you know? Just saying. Read devotional material. Listen, we've been providing devotional material for our church and members of our church from the beginning. Why? Because we want to reach and we want to teach. We want you to grow up. But listen, you can't grow up getting one day of spiritual nourishment a week. Seek God through his word, right? Seek his truth. Then what happens is what? He says, and then you'll be free. The truth will set you free. The problem is we walk around in bondage. Most of us don't know it. And the ones who know it have become so comfortable in it that we just hang out here. We're good. These handcuffs don't hurt too bad. These chains don't bother me too bad. They're not too heavy. I can't lift my arms anymore. I don't have any freedom anymore, but it's all right. I can live here. I've been living here for the last 30 years. I guess I'll just live here some more. And we can do that if you want to do that, or you can be free. Well, how? Why, Eddie, why aren't I living in the freedom that Jesus has? Well, maybe it's because you don't know enough word. He said, if you're really my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, it didn't say it might. It said it will. And so if we want to be free, completely free, liberated, then we must be in the word and let the word be in us. Amen? Amen? Number three, if we're going to find God, we must, here it is, it's the easy one, open your eyes. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. When we observe creation, it does not take a rocket scientist or a genius to realize that the perfection of creation and the complexity of creation did not randomly happen. And if you think it does, I want you to know it takes way more faith to believe that it randomly happened than to believe it my way. When we look at a piece of architecture, how many of you like buildings and looking at beautiful architecture? You don't look at the building and go, I wonder how that happened. No, you say, I wonder who made that happen, right? I wonder who the architect was. I wonder who dreamt that up. Some intelligent designer. When you look at the human body, I don't know if you've ever studied the intricacy and the complexity of the human body. We're a very complex organism with complex systems that all just work together to make it work and to function as it does. And I want you to know, how could someone look at the human body and say, I wonder how that happened? No, we go, I wonder who made that happen. It had to be an intelligent designer. I want you to know, someone far more intelligent than us. That's why doctors are told they're practicing medicine. The only one who's ever perfected medicine's name is Jesus, right? Everybody else just practicing. I think this will get you fixed. Try this. If that doesn't work, we'll try this. Take two aspirins, call me in the morning. Do you know that in our environment, the environment that you live in called planet Earth, if planet Earth moves any closer to the sun, we burn up. Any farther from the sun, we freeze to death. A perfect environment for life to be sustained every day, right in the universe where God placed it. Think about it. Any closer, it's so hot you can't, you just melt. And any farther away, we freeze to death. That's why I don't understand how you people from the north can deal with winter. I've been in Minnesota in March, in April, it was snowing. I left here, it was 80. I went on a job interview years ago, and I got off a plane in a sport coat. It was long before the internet. You couldn't check your weather like every day, you know. And I get off a plane in Minnesota at the end of April, and when I walk out of the airplane, it's like 20 degrees. I'm in a sport coat. I think I'm a tad underdressed. Like, I don't know how you people live there. Too cold. Perfect environment for things to live and exist in a harmonious way. The evidences, listen to me, the evidences of God are all around you. All you have to do is open your eyes. And you go, God, you are amazing. You look in the mirror, you go, God, you're amazing. Look what you did. Could you take a little bit off right here and, you know. He doesn't answer those prayers. He said, you want it off? Then work it off. Push back. Do the pushbacks, right? Push back from the table. Number four, if we're going to find God, we have to live out of the seeking. Acts 17:28, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Listen, when we seek him, we seek his truth, we open our eyes to his involvement in our lives, we will seek him and find him and experience his freedom and live in him and with him in all we do. Who am I, who I am, and what I'm all about comes from one relationship, and it's not the one with my wife. Although it's been a great relationship, I want you to know who I am comes from my relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And everything I do comes out of that relationship. When we come to Jesus, our lives should begin to reflect. We should live out of that relationship. I don't do things to be found right with God. I do things because I am right with God. I serve God. I serve his people. I love God. I love his people. Why? Because he first loved me. Because I know him and he knows me. I'm living out of the seeking. Right? I told you this. When I got saved, I was a disaster on the inside. On the outside, it all looked great. It looked good. But on the inside, I just kept trying to fill the voids and fill the holes with all kinds of external stimuli, and none of it worked. I meet Jesus, and everything changes. I went, that's what I've been looking for all my life. And I want you to know, if any of you fall into the category of you still can't find what you're looking for, start at Jesus. That's why he's the first message in the series. And if you start at Jesus and you say, you know what, today is the day that I'm going to run after Jesus. I'm going to seek him, as Pastor Eddie said. I'm going to seek him in his word. I'm going to open my eyes to his involvement and his place in my life and in this world. Then you know what's going to happen? I'm going to begin to live out of that relationship. And I want you to begin to live out of that relationship, not for that relationship. And lastly, number five, when we find God, when we seek God while we can. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says, seek the Lord, look at the words, while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Here Isaiah is telling the people of Israel, and he's telling us today, church, today's the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not some other day. Today is the day. You know, I had a friend, a pastor friend of mine many years ago, and he was meeting with a guy, and he kept trying to lead him to the Lord. And he kept, you know, presenting the truths about God to him over and over and over. And this guy was just very resistant to, he just liked living in the world, just like enjoying himself. And like, there's a few things he didn't want to give up. And so he just kept telling my friend, yeah, one day, yeah, believe in Jesus and all. But I just am not ready to receive him as Lord and Savior of my life. And my friend one day, he said, this is the day. And man, he felt like this was just such a powerful time together. And he said, man, do you want to receive Christ today? He's like, nah, not today, man. He goes, you know, maybe tomorrow. He goes, let me go home and think about it. And the guy left that night and he died. My friend was distraught. He's like, man, I should have pushed a little harder. I said, you know, but we can't win anybody. We can't make anybody come to Christ. And he said, I did what I could. And he goes, I hope that when he left me, he began to think about it. And I hope that he received Jesus, but there's no way of me ever knowing here. The point of that is, today's the day of salvation. Because tomorrow is not a promise for anybody. Which again brings me back to the urgency, guys. The urgency of us sharing Jesus with the people around us. It's an urgent time historically. It's an urgent time in our life, in the church today. It's an urgent time in our lives. And I believe today's the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Don't say you'll call somebody tomorrow. Don't tell you you'll call somebody next week or next year or the next time I see them, I'll tell them about Jesus. You need to get on the phone today and call somebody that's on your heart and share Jesus with them, because tomorrow may not be here. James says in James 4, 13 and 14, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this city or that city and spend a year there and carry on business and make money. Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. None of us know what tomorrow holds, so we better know who holds tomorrow. I told you the story a few weeks ago, but that time I went to go meet a guy from church, and we were sitting in a restaurant in Slidell, and I sat with my back to the door on purpose. He was an ex-cop, I'm an ex-cop, and I know cops never sit with their backs to the door because they're paranoid that somebody's going to walk in and catch them without looking, and they're going to get killed, without having a chance to defend themselves. He says, are you okay sitting like that? I said, like what? I knew what he was talking about. He goes, with your back to the door. I said, totally fine. How's that? I said, because let me explain something to you. If a gunman walks in the door and mows down everybody in this place, then in the next breath, I'll be standing in the presence of Jesus in heaven. There's no doubt about it. I know where I'm going. I am secure in my walk with God. I have sought God. I have found him in his truth. I have opened my eyes to his involvement in this world, and I am running after him every day. And you know what? There was a day that I said yes to Jesus, and that day changed the rest of my life, the course of my life, and I want you to know that can happen for you today. That guy received Jesus, and now he comes to church here regularly. And I'm thankful for that. None of us know what tomorrow holds, so we better know who holds tomorrow. Seek God while you can. 5 secrets to finding God in your life. Seek God. That's not a matter of saying, I'm going to go to church more. I'm going to read the Bible more. It's a matter of waking up every day, making him not an important thing, but the most important thing in your life. We must seek his truth. Listen, if you want to really get to know the God of the Word, then you better get in the Word. Revelation of Jesus comes through his Word. The more time in the Word, the more revelation. Open your eyes. The evidences of God are all around you. Live out of the seeking. And then finally, seek God. Here it is. While you can. I believe today's the day for that. Would you stand with me, God seekers? And I'm going to ask you to do something for me today that we don't do a lot here. I'm going to ask you right where you're standing, everyone, to just bow your head and close your eyes. Let's have just a moment and let the Holy Spirit just do what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Every head bowed and every eye closed. And I'm asking you today, if maybe you need to know, hey, maybe today is your day of salvation. Maybe today is the day you say, you know what? I'm ready to make that step, Pastor Eddie. I'm ready to say yes to Jesus and make him Lord and Savior of my life. Yeah, I've known about God and I know who God is, but I really don't know God. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? You say, I'm ready to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I see your hands. Would everyone pray this prayer with me so they're not praying it alone? Dear Jesus, I recognize I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Today I receive you as Lord and Savior of my life. From this moment forward, I will walk with you. I thank you for saving me, for loving me, and for never giving up on me. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Now for the rest of us, if you're seeking God and his truth, you are opening your eyes to the evidences of God around you, not walking around with blinders on, living out of the seeking and seeking him today and making today the important day that it should be. Would you just raise your hands? Heavenly Father, I give you praise and thanksgiving for who you are and for the things that you're doing in the lives of your people. And God, today, I pray for every person in the room today, God, those seeking after you with their whole hearts. And I pray, God, that they'll know you in a way that they've never known you before. I pray, God, that your voice becomes loud and clear. I pray that the word is illuminated in their lives as they open it to read it. I pray, God, that prayer times are turned up a notch and look better than they ever have before because of a desire to draw close to you. And God, that you would do great things in your people as they reach out to the people around them, those that need to know Jesus. I pray you would use these people in a powerful way in their lives, God, not in years to come, but in the days to come. Thank you for them. Bless them today as they prepare to go in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. See you next week.